double again. I want to see a triple doink.
It might happen.
Doink.
Double doink.
Double doink.
Double doink.
Triple doink. Quadruple doink.
Doink.
A double doink right there.
Doink. Doink. A double doink.
Double doinker.
Dicker the kicker. Triple doink sit in. Doink, 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 doink.
Double doinks and sackles.
Teaching you how to football.
Can you teach me how to football? We're trying to.
Your team's on five right now.
Look, so that wasn't the question, okay?
Can I teach your team how to football, I guess? I mean,
that's probably a more accurate question.
Please do. Well, we're here for our week 5 recap, week 6 prediction. My name is Fernando.
I'm Travis.
I'm Chris.
I'm Jimmy G, the downward dog boy.
The downward dog boy.
Yes. Guess what they play this week.
Fair enough. That's fair enough.
So are we starting off with Jimmy G, the stat boy, or the downward dog guy, has some trivia for us.
Yes. So far in this season, in our league, it doesn't matter what, fantasy football, who are the top 10 wide receivers by points?
Points scored. I mean, I'm going to go number one easy. I think we were kind of talking about this before, but it's got to be
Tyreek Hill by almost 20 points.
I'm going to go number two, probably Stephon Diggs.
He is number three with 99 points.
I'm going to go A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown is eighth on our list.
Okay, he's getting up there. What about, he didn't have a great game last one, but he's still getting those catches. Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson is sixth.
All right, right Jay Jettas.
He'll probably stay like that and go down for a little bit.
What, Puka Nacua?
Ooh,
Puka Nacua is fourth on this list.
We're still missing number two?
Number two.
I mean, just from that monster game, did that put
DJ Moore?
DJ Moore in the top 10?
He's number two.
He's
number two now.
Holy cow.
I bet she's got 100 points and 50 or more.
Well, with that, then Jamar Chase has to be in the top 10 after that one.
Jamar Chase is seventh.
I'm glad we got rid of DJ Moore.
Jamar Chase had two horrible first games.
You gave us a hint earlier that someone would know what it is. I'm guessing based off of just the amount of catches that he gets, I'm going to go Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen is 10th.
Collins.
Nico Collins. He is not on this list.
What are we missing?
He's 11th, though. He's 11th.
Okay.
I just noticed him on the bottom of the page.
What are we missing?
You're missing 5th and you're missing 9th.
5 and 9.
Is DK Metcalf on this list?
He is not on this list.
No, Keenan Allen has to be on
this list. Keenan Allen's 5th on this list.
There you go.
He had
9th, there's nothing really much to say about
it. Nice.
He's a good player. He barely did anything this week, but.
Okay. 9th receiver. What's the offense? Who's catching balls? Should we narrow it down to a conference?
Yeah.
AFC. He plays with a very handsome guy.
Is it...
Calvin Ridley?
No.
You think he's handsome.
Now we hear his man.
Devontae Adams.
Now we know what's on Travis's mind.
We've already known that for weeks by this point.
That is true. That is very true.
I was wondering why he dyed his hair blonde like that.
Yeah, you guys can't see it, but his hair grew back really quick, and it's all blonde locks now.
That's what it is, man. Luxurious long locks.
You can't see it, but it's there.
The benefit Trust of an us. Audio medium by this point. But let's dive right in. Let's dive on in to last week's games. There's not much to talk about Thursday night.
Yep. Well, how about just the Bears showing up? 40 points?
I think everyone had picks on Washington.
Chicago?
I don't think anyone picked Chicago to win that.
Who the hell would pick Chicago?
I actually did a couple hours beforehand.
Dick
Butkus died.
Cover, but that was it.
And you guys allowed it over the chat stream.
On air, you said.
On air, I said the commies, but Dick Butkus died. Rest in peace, Dick Butkus.
What a game, DJ Moore.
Well, do you want to just go into Sunday? The international series... I definitely didn't wake up at 6 a.m. for this game, so...
I did, unfortunately. It was a terrible time waking up as well. However, the Jacksonville Jaguars did show up. The defense is actually kind of carrying this team right now. Their offense seems to start getting put in on point right now. Trevor Lawrence is not making terrible decisions. Travis Etienne is running the ball out of his mind. But that defense looks good right now.
I think, yeah, I think the big problem there was Buffalo was, it seemed like they were pretty jet lagged. They started out pretty weak. You know, Jacksonville came in hot, put up 11 points. You know, Bills got something in the second, but they didn't get anything to the fourth again. But again, I think it was that Jaguars defense that came through to help them out. But I don't know. I don't know if it was the same game over in the States. Would the score be the same? Don't know.
Their running game wasn't very good, the Bills. They was barely doing anything. And yeah, I felt like they were also jet lagged. Didn't seem like they, first half, they were pretty much out of it, I felt.
I mean, Josh Allen was their leading carrier for 4 carries for 14 yards.
Oh, gross. At
that point. James Cook was not essential in this game. You know, Diggs had a good game, 120 yards, one touchdown. He had a meltdown on the sideline as well. Once again, I mean, props to the Twitter trolls of the week. Go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They had a picture of Josh Allen, number 41, going through a table next to the video of Stephon Diggs throwing his helmet on the sideline next to Josh Allen and said, "With the wheel, Josh Allen, please step up." Listen, it was a good game for the Jaguars. They needed to go over to London to get those two wins. They're coming back. We'll talk about them later, yeah. But yeah.
Let me just throw this out here, by the way. I know the London games tend to be very early, but if you ever get a chance to check out the London games, they're pretty awesome because these guys don't know a lot about a football, but they show up with any sports outfit that they can find. Doesn't have to be anything close to the teams. Just check out the stands. It's all about sports at that point.
I was going to make a $1 bet with you. It's like, when are we going to see a Niners jersey or a Panthers jersey first in a London game? And so happened there were 5 or 6 people with different shirts and Panthers and Niners in the same shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call that a push. One game I thought was pretty entertaining. I like that Houston-Atlanta game. It was really field goal heavy early on. I think that's all Texans did the first 3 quarters. Finally got it into the end zone, took a 1-point lead, and then Desmond Ridder drives him down the field, gets him into field goal range. Coup with the winner. I thought that was one of the more entertaining games last weekend, in my opinion.
I thought it was good. I thought C.J. Stroud, once again, I think broke Dak Prescott's record for the most starts as a rookie without throwing an interception this game.
It's funny how Dak Prescott has
that. Irony, right?
Yeah, big time.
But C.J. Stroud yet to throw an interception. Couldn't really get it going a whole lot. A big Dalton Schultz-heavy game. Couldn't get Tank or Nico involved in that game too much. But... you know, they were able to kind of keep in this for the most part. I mean, they were never really out of it until, you know, obviously the game ended by that point with Kuz's field goal. But, you know, I like the Texans right now. They're a frisky team.
I'm not against the Texans right now. I think they have to build around their quarterback and help this guy out a little bit. You know, he can't be a one-stop shop there. But, you know, if he keeps going the way he's going, eventually they're going to pan out, but I don't think this is a year for him.
Do you know how many yards Kyle Pitts had in this game?
I'm looking at it, so I can't answer the question.
A lot more than I thought he was capable of doing.
Is it the most like he's had since his rookie season?
Well, it's good considering his like past 2 years, like 87 yards, 7 catches.
All right,
but yeah, insignificant for the. I don't know. Just didn't seem really impactful, but. Who knew?
Do you want to talk about that Lions and Panthers game at all? Or
The only thing I have to say about this is the fact that Bryce Young threw for 3 TDs.
Hey, that was my hot take. I said at least 2.
Good on him.
You got 3.
Good on him.
Killing it.
I was going to say the Panthers were there at the game.
They were. The team showed up.
Yep. Actually, a fun little thing I saw on, it was like a TikTok thing. The Panthers put on like Instagram, like we stand with like Israel and stuff like that. And the comment section went off on it. And like, when will you stand up for the people of Charlotte? Like, when will you stand up for the fans
well,
in the stands?
I'm sure there's someone over in Israel with a sign that says, "We don't stand with the Panthers."
Wow.
What else we got from last week? Dolphins, Giants. I mean, Dolphins look legit. A couple interceptions by Tua kept the game sort of close. I think they could have scored 40 to 50 points had they not thrown those picks.
Waller showed up that game.
That he did.
Yeah, Waller showed up that game.
How about those Patriots? 34-0 against the Saints?
I think they've been outscored like almost like 69 points.
69-3 or something.
Yeah, because they got demolished by Texas or Dallas the week before.
Another game that was actually like decent to watch was actually the Titans versus the Colts. Once again, can't pick the Titans to save my life, but I did pick them this week to lose to the Colts. The Colts lost Anthony Richardson. He's out like 4 to 6 weeks right now.
Yeah, it's not right 4 to 8.
Four to eight weeks right now. Gardner Minshew stepping up. Zach Moss, knowing Jonathan Taylor comes back, has the game of his life, 189 yards and 2 touchdowns. Colts end up pulling this out down 16-17, up 17-16, sorry, in the third quarter. Come back. Two gay field goals lead them to the victory on that one.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens between Moss and JTT when he comes back, because Moss is not that bad.
He's the hot hand right now.
And you know JTT is not going to plug in. He's not going to plug and chug. He's not going to show up and have like a 3-touchdown game or anything like that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens right there.
I hear he's getting at least 10 snaps this week, JTT.
Oh.
We had 6 snaps last week, 18 yards, 3 yards carry. I mean, it was a Zach Moss show last week. You go with the hot hand.
So this game here, the Ravens and Steelers, that was, I don't know how the Ravens lost this game. We all watched this game. It was like, nothing was happening for Pittsburgh on offense. The Ravens just kept dropping the ball, turning it over. They could have put this away. Like, this should have been like a 24-3 Ravens victory. And like that blocked punt in the end zone for a safety, leading to the deep ball. I mean, it was insane how the Ravens found a way to lose this game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm even looking at the win probability here on ESPN, and like it jumps way down real quick.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. I mean, George Pickens gets that touchdown at the end of the game. I mean, the Ravens just blew this game. It goes down to the Ravens not being able to have a sustainable offense. Their quick strikes, they're a one-dimensional offense, in my opinion. Like, Zay Flowers had a couple big drops, which was huge to them as well, but man, if you can't get that passing game going, you could beat the Ravens.
I'm shocked Lamar doesn't run the ball more. Is that like part of his like new thing? Is he trying to be a pocket? Like, that's when they succeed. I mean, you might get injured when you run the ball more as a quarterback, but it seems like if he's not running, they're not winning.
I think a lot of these teams look at these quarterbacks, once they get paid, they're just like, you're our guy.
Yeah.
You're it. Stay in the pocket. Don't get hurt. We're paying you this money to stay on the field, which takes away from a lot of these guys, especially these guys who come up through high school and college playing like one-dimensional like football. It's either RPO, you know, they're getting outside of the pocket, they're running the ball, that type of thing. And you try to make him a pocket passer, just doesn't work. Doesn't work.
I mean, he still had 6 carries on the game, 45 yards, 7.5 yards carry by that point. I mean, he's still running the ball-ish, but it's not really exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah, no. You got to let him have the ball, let him have control, let him get outside of the pocket, play his game, and that's how you win games.
Rest of these afternoon games are kind of, you know, Eagles beat the Rams. There's no big surprise there. Bengals offense showed up for the first time this year. 34 points. Ja'Marr Chase, if you started him in your fantasy league.
Huge game, yep.
Always open.
Always open.
7-11.
Always fucking open.
Jets Broncos, that was, I mean, it was, you know, shit versus shit, but.
So Nathaniel Hackett revenge game.
Yeah, you know what? I'm happy the Jets won this game. I don't know. Nathaniel Hackett, like, with Sean Payton here, you can see it's not all on Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, the Broncos, Russell Wilson, trash. Just trash. And they're stuck with him for a while.
I just don't understand what Wilson is doing right now. He looks confused as a quarterback. Like, he's trying to get outside of the pocket, but then he's trying to come back into the pocket to pass the ball. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's almost like he doesn't want to be touched, so he's scared to be touched. So he's either throwing the ball away and getting happy feet. Like, he's all over the place right now. He's definitely not the same guy from Seattle, say, like 4 years ago.
I mean, I'll also give a little credit on this one. Their run defense is terrible. We've seen that week after week. I mean, Breece Hall even had like 177 yards this week.
Huge game.
The Jets didn't need Zach Wilson to do it, which once again, I'm going back to Zach Wilson being a system quarterback on this. If they can get a running game established and that defense can like sit on their haunches on it, man, Zach Wilson could lead this team to a playoff berth easily.
Yeah, not the division, but definitely the playoffs. All right, I suppose we should talk about the Vikings-Chiefs game.
Well, I figured I'd wait on you to talk about
that one. Yeah, here's waiting for that one. All right, Vikings fall to 1-4. And so a lot of things I saw on the internet, a lot of videos about the pass interference call at the end that was picked up against the Chiefs as the Vikings were trying to drive down to tie the game. So I wasn't too mad about that. Like the throw, because you know when you deflect the ball at the line, like it's a free for all. You know you can push people around. It's like the ball's up there. It was deflected, but it wasn't deflected. But Cousins' arm was altered through the throw with the pressure on the defense. So the ball like wasn't catchable. Could it have been catchable if he wasn't interfered with? But they picked it up, and then the Chiefs player takes his helmet off, which is a penalty. Like, it was after the play, so we still would have turned it over on downs. But back him up half the distance to the goal or whatever it was. Like, it was, I don't know. Everyone was like, for people who don't like to talk shit to me and are Viking haters, they're like, man, I was cheering for them. They hate the Chiefs now because they're the new Patriots. And the refs seem to be giving them just the benefit of the doubt every time.
It's called the Brady treatment.
Yeah, and it's turning into the Mahomes treatment.
Yeah, no, I could talk about that. For a little bit. I mean, yeah. You know, I've definitely seen it the past couple of years. I mean, I agree with you. Once again, it's if the ball gets tipped, there's no more pass interference. But if it hits the wrist by that point, the ball's not tipped. So, like, it still falls under the pass interference call on that one. It should have been pass interference in there. Once again, I always go back to, like, what my football coach taught me back in high school and something I've lived by for a long time. If you're basing it off of one call, then you didn't do enough to win the game to begin with. That was kind of the Vikings' MO in this game. They just didn't do enough to win this game.
I mean, that's been their MO all year.
I just feel like the Vikings got to figure out a run game. You know, Cousins, he is what he is, right? He's not the best quarterback. He's a decent quarterback. You know, you have Jefferson until he gets hurt. That's fine. But you got to figure out your run game. You got to figure out something to be able to give him a little bit more time in the pocket, right?
I want
to
see more Cam Akers. Like, the few plays he's had, like, there's more of a burst through the hole than with Alexander Madison. Like, give it to Cam Akers. Like, just do something. Figure something out. I mean, you're 1-4. I mean, at this point, I'm ready for the draft next year. I want to get that franchise quarterback, whoever it is.
Just try some other players, see what happens, see what sticks. Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, let's put Randy Dalton in for the Panthers. I just don't have it there. Just an idea. I don't know.
All right, then we got Sunday Night Football: Cowboys and Niners. I was expecting high scoring, but I thought it would be closer. The Niners are really good.
They're just too good.
Really, really good.
Too good.
Best team in the league. Too good. I saw the power rankings, and I agree with it. Like, Niners, Philly, they have the Chiefs, and then the Dolphins. Those are the top four in the power rankings. I might put those Dolphins ahead of the Chiefs, but that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, Kittle blew it up. 3 TDs. That was tough. I think Dallas defense is a little busted up a little bit. They're a little hurt.
Yeah.
But still, 3 TDs from a tight end, that's tough. I mean, Purdy looked good. I mean, 252 yards, 4 TDs. That's tough. That is tough.
Do you guys remember while watching the game with the flea flicker to Kittle?
Flea flicker? The same play.
Did you guys remember seeing that same play in the Lions-Panthers game? I must have missed it. But it looked I saw a side-by-side replay of both, and it's the exact same play.
Kittle said he texted his coach because they were practicing that play. They're like, dude, they just ran our play. Like, he was watching, like, because they didn't play till the night, so he was watching, like, the afternoon game. He's like, that's our play. Like, it went to the tight end, another Iowa tight end, too, Laporta, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, they just took it. I was like, I was okay with that because at least it went to another Iowa tight end. This is George Kittle talking. And he's like, yeah, but we're still going to run it. And yeah, it worked perfect for both teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do have a question on this game. What do you think about Dak? Like, is he the Dallas quarterback? Like, what's the thought process there?
He's
like,
three Kirk Cousins to me. He is right Kirk there. Cousins to me.
You know,
like, they are the same. He's a little more mobile, and that's about it. Like, I think Dak and Kirk Cousins are about as close to being equal as, like,
what?
Talent-wise on the football
I
field.
I just keep thinking back to all those years they kept franchising him because they didn't want to commit him. And then he finally gave him the big contract. And now he looks like buyer's remorse.
Once
right
again,
now.
These guys getting the big contracts. Yeah. Look what's what? Happening.
But he kept getting franchised, and didn't want to commit. And then all of a sudden he did. And then he does
so this. What's the play with Lance? What's the play with Lance? You don't know what this guy can do. I mean, San Francisco didn't take a look at him. You know, he got injured. Only saw him a little bit. You know, Dallas picks him up. He's sitting there. I mean, they're still in the mix, right? They're still in the mix, so you can't go with this guy right now. But, like, when you're losing, like, this bad, do you throw him in there? Like, you're not going to put Cooper Rush in.
I don't think they're going to get to a point where they need to, like, try him out. Because he's definitely a project 1 or 2 years down the line.
I don't know. The biggest question that you have is when he gets raised up on the depth chart. Because right now, like, he's the emergency quarterback, right?
Yes.
So that's what he's going to sit at. So until they raise him up above Cooper Rush, then there's nothing you're going to say about it. The best option you have for Trey Lance by this point is wait until next year. You run through the season. I mean, I think the Cowboys still believe that they're in the season. The problem with the Cowboys that I'm seeing is that their defensive players are just dropping like flies by this point.
Big time.
They had, like, the arguably one of the best defenses I've seen, like, the first, like, couple weeks of the season, 3 weeks of the season, 4 weeks of the season by that point. But they're dropping. And it's just not going to be sustainable. I don't know what kind of depth they have behind them, because right now it's starting to look like they have zero depth behind them. And if the defense doesn't have it, I mean, I think we talked about this last week, even with our picks. My pick was the 49ers, and I chose them on the over on that one. But it was because I said I don't trust Dak when the offense gets on the field. And I think it's 2 weeks in a row that I've said that by this point, and, like, it's just proving to be in fruition. Because, like, when the Dallas offense is on the field, they have no identity. You have Tony Pollard, who's supposed to be, like, your bell cow back by this point, but, like, you're welcoming him in with, like, dials and everything like that. Dak can't get it down the field longer than 15 yards. If you can't make your offense scary enough and you just rely on that defense and you start losing 5-6 players on your defense, Cowboys are going to struggle a whole hell of a lot. Because, I mean, I'll tell you right now, if they keep playing the way they played on Sunday night, give me the Commies or even the Giants by that point to pass.
Giants.
Cowboys are still making the playoffs because the NFC is weak.
I do believe their offensive line was healthy at the start of this game.
Yeah,
like they were fully healthy. Who knows what happened afterward? Or those injuries.
I'm gonna agree with Travis on this, especially when you have a player like CeeDee Lamb. If you can't hit him deep and let him just take off with the ball, like, why is he even out there?
I mean, they signed, like, so they had Michael Gallup, right, the entire time. He was a solid number two receiver. They got Brandon Cooks in a trade by that point as well. Neither player has done anything this year.
No.
CeeDee Lamb has been serviceable in fantasy wise, but, like, other than that, like, their offense has done zero.
I feel like when they traded Amari Cooper, that's probably when it started to not really be cohesive for that team.
I mean, we're looking at the Eagles 5-0, the Lions 4-1, the Bucks 3-1, the Niners 5-0. The Dallas Cowboys are 3-2 by this point. I mean, they could win this week. They might not. They're playing the Chargers. I mean, who knows what's going to happen. But the Dallas Cowboys could easily slip down in the standings-wise.
They could.
And miss the playoffs.
But again, the rest of the teams in the NFC look pretty weak outside of the top three or four. Monday Night Football, I don't know, not much to say. Kind of a sloppy game. Raiders beat the Packers. I enjoyed watching it. That was about it. I mean, a lot of Jordan Love just looks terrible.
Three interceptions.
He had a couple
really good, like, three touchdown games, but
one of them was against the Bears. He is on a
downward slide for sure.
That's a shame.
I think it comes down to Aaron Jones coming back. They have zero offensive running right now on that
team. Well, I don't know about zero. I mean, AJ Dillon had some. He was like, he almost drove them all the way down the field on their one touchdown they got. I feel like they need to run the ball more. Yeah, run the ball more, because Jordan Love is not. He doesn't.
I felt like they ran the ball a lot that game.
Yeah, like,
I feel like he. Yeah.
A.J. Dillon might have got close to 100.
He had 79 yards for 20 rushes, so we're talking like just over like 3 yards of carry by that point. He's got this opportunity to do like so. I mean, Aaron Jones has looked far better in the game that he started than A.J. Dillon has looked in the many games that he started since then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it comes down to the quarterback. Like, he's like, when he's on, he's on. When he's off, he's way off. So, like, that's tough, right? You can have good games and you can have really good games, but you can't have shitty games and expect to win.
Big time. Well, that's the week 5 recap. We're going to take a quick break here when we come back. Or is it week 4?
It's week 5.
Okay. Week 6 picks, I'm just making sure. we'll have our week 6 picks coming up right after this.
Let's take a break and listen to some commercials.
Hey, Fernando. Where can I go for brunch on my birthday this Saturday?
Your birthday's this Saturday. You should head on down to Fernside in the heart of South Park. Fernside at 1946 Fern Street, San Diego, California. Hit up your boy Eric B. Goods in the kitchen. He'll be cooking up that food, which is delicious. Once again, Fernside.
Thanks. I will do that.
So we had some technical difficulties with the microphone. So the next 6 minutes are going to sound a little low quality, and you can barely make out what we're saying at point times. So if you want to skip that part, go ahead 6 minutes in the audio. Just know that you're missing is our picks for the Broncos Chiefs, Ravens Titans, Vikings Bears, and Seahawks Bengals. If you want to know who we picked, just ask us in the comments, message the podcast. We can answer that if you're curious. Otherwise, after that, we'll get back in the audio. Thanks for listening.
We're back. We're going to look at the week 6 picks for
the podcast. The NFL?
Yeah.
The NFL, the National Football League.
The week 6 picks for week 6?
Yes.
Not week 5 picks.
Not week 5. We did that last week.
Well,
this week is week 6.
I got to smell this hot sauce.
Thanks. We will do that.
We are prepping for our hot takes after the picks. We got our hot sauce out. We'll talk about that later. Let's start off with Thursday Night Football. First game of the week. We got the Broncos at the Chiefs. Gross. Chiefs, 10.5-point favorites. I don't see how in any way the Broncos can beat the Chiefs. Kelsey's questionable with that ankle injury. But I feel like the Broncos are just so shitty. Broncos will win this game, or Chiefs will win this game, and they can cover that 10.5 points easily.
You know, this is commercial for this game. We had Marshawn Lynch, like, watching these two games come on a TV screen, he looks so excited. That's the one time I never believed Marshawn Lynch, because this game looks like shit. Give the Chiefs to win cover. There's no way the Broncos can ever make this close, I don't think.
I'm going to have to disagree with you. I don't want to see Mahomes fail. Well, you want to, but is he going to?
Are they
going
to let him fail?
Yeah, the refs aren't going to let him fail. And I think this is a perfect game for him to fail. So I'm going to say Kansas City wins. Denver covers this.
This is the perfect game for him to fail?
Perfect.
There's so many more perfect games that he could fail.
Zip.
Give me one other game he can't fail at. You don't even know. You don't even know what's up here. This is a stupid pick on your part. Chiefs will win.
Unless Taylor Swift comes in and takes his glory.
Now, granted, that might be down to the greater honor, but we'll see. Chiefs winning covers here.
Also, a side note, when Mahomes beat and the Chiefs beat the Vikings last week, he has now beaten all 31 teams.
He has?
All 31, that's like the
youngest ever to do it, right?
Youngest ever to do it.
And the rest won't let him beat himself. So.
That is so true. Mm. We're going into Sunday, the international game. We'll probably all be sleeping during this game at 6:30 a.m., but it is the Ravens at the Titans. Ravens get the 4-point favorites in this game. I think Baltimore bounces back from a very ugly performance against their division rivals last week. They're going to catch the ball this time. I think that's a big one. They got to run the ball more. Tennessee is a weird team. I don't know. Like, I never feel comfortable picking them. And I still think the Ravens, they should win this division, and I think it starts with a win against the Titans, and they cover the 4 points.
I don't like the Ravens. I don't like the Titans' this game. This game's a toss-up. The Titans don't. Yeah, are very Dr. Heckle, Mr. Hyde. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Yes. Yeah, so I actually used my app to pick out who would win this game, and I had to give me Ravens, so give me the Ravens in this game.
Fair enough.
Yep. I think this game is going to come down to Henry. Why can Henry do it? Is he going to show up? Is he going to run for 200 yards? Haven't seen it yet this season. It's a possibility. I don't think this is the week, but if he shows up, they win. If they don't, Baltimore has it. But I'm going to choose Baltimore to win this. I think Jackson's going to be able to run the ball a little bit more, get it outside of the pocket, hopefully. So I think Baltimore wins this.
So I've been like living this game for a long time. I realized that I have not been able to pick the Titans correctly until last week when I finally picked them to lose against the Colts. I realized by looking at all the teams that we have on the schedule, I believe the Titans are like the only team that I haven't actually really watched a game of this season. They just have not been interesting enough for me to watch. I know the division. I just kind of hope they lose. I've watched the Texans more. I've watched the Colts more than I've watched the Titans by this point. Last week, I feel like they're starting to find their way on this one. I feel going across the pond, I think it favors the Titans as opposed to the Ravens. I think the Ravens had a lot of drop issues last week, so give me the Titans this week to cover and win this game. Let's go.
All right.
Tighten up. Oh, he said Dr. Heckle and Mr. Jive. You're going to knock me on tighten up. That's actually what they say. So.
Hey, I wasn't promoting Bucking. We just left.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, what do we got next? Vikings at Bears. Minnesota comes in at 2.5-point favorites. Both teams 1-4. Bears coming off an impressive win on Thursday Night Football last week. Vikings doing Viking things. Vikings tend to struggle, no matter how good or bad the teams are, in Soldier Field. And losing Justin Jefferson for four games at least. This is the first of the four. I am taking the Bears to run all over the Vikings, and they are going to win this game.
Yeah, I feel like the Vikings do not have enough weapons to keep up in this game. I actually think the Bears are going to win pretty handily in this game, and they're going to continue what they did against the Commies last week. Give me the Bears to win this game.
Well,
if the diehard Vikings fans say they're going to lose, I'm going to agree with them. Chicago wins this game.
Well, if the diehard Vikings fan says they're going to lose, I'm going to believe in the reverse jinx on this one. I'm going to say the Vikings win this game. I would say a premature hot take on this one would be there's going to be two rushing touchdowns in this game. Meaning, say, one from Madison and one from Cam Akers himself.
Ooh, fancy.
Up next, we got the Seahawks traveling to Cincinnati, taking on the Bengals. Cincinnati 2.5-point favorites in this game. Now, Seattle coming off a bye, that's always a good advantage for a team. You get to rest up a little more, ready to go. But the Bengals coming off their best game of the year by far, especially offensively. I think Burrow's feeling closer to 100%. He's been a little dinged up all year with that leg injury. And I think we just saw a taste of what they're going to be able to do the rest of the year. So I think the Bengals will win this game, and they will cover those 2.5 points.
I got this bad feeling that everyone's so on, like, Joe Burrow's. Like, he had a breakout game. He was able to move out of the pocket, able to hit downfield targets. Jamar Chase had a huge game. I just have a bad feeling that that's just really early kind of positive things, because I feel like they're going to regress again. But I'm going to pick the Bengals. I feel like I'm just hoping that we get some good football out of him. But yeah, give me the Bengals to win and cover in this game.
I'm going to take Seahawks on this one. I think Burrow has been hit or miss until he can get past that, even though he's coming off his best game of the season. Until he can get past that, the Seahawks have not looked bad this season. Mm. So I think they're going to show up and take out Cincinnati.
Hmm. I don't know. It's a guy that's saying that the only reason this fantasy team is losing because of Joe Burrow right now.
Which is exactly playing into what I'm saying.
Then you got to buy back into him right now is what I'm saying.
Nope.
So what I'm thinking right now is the Bengals get a bye week next week. So I think they're going to ball out this week. I think Joe Burrow is going to give it all he has, knowing that he's going to have an extra week of rest by this point. Give me the Bengals to win and cover this game. This game is in Seattle. I might take the Seahawks, but I'm not going to take them in Cincinnati. It's a tough place to stay, play in. So let's go.
Dollar bet.
Let's go, yeah.
All right, bets being made. Up next, the Niners. 5-0 Niners going into Cleveland, another team coming off a bye. San Francisco, 7-point favorites. I don't know what it is about this game. There's always that one. It's like when Dallas lost to Arizona. There's that weird, crazy game. I'm not saying the Browns are going to beat the Niners, but I feel like it's going to be a close game. It could be sloppy. It's supposed to rain in Cleveland on Sunday. I can just see the Browns like keeping up with the Niners. I'm going to take the Niners to win, but I'm going to take the Browns to cover that 7-point spread.
I feel like this is like a minor or small trap game for the Niners.
Yeah, trap game.
It feels like a trap game. Like, I definitely think the Niners will still win this game, but I'm also cognizant of Deshaun Watson not really practicing. I don't know why he came out of this last game, and he's still not back yet. Healthy. Maybe the backup will still play. I believe it's who's left the backup now?
I don't know.
It's not Dorian DTR, but the other guy. He might be playing, but I still feel like this is like weirdly like trappish. So give me the Niners, but the Browns to cover.
I have no idea what you're talking. You're talking about backups possibly coming in, and you think the Browns are.
Well, even if like Watson is in there, plays, that might be better.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't see the Cleveland like even showing up for this game. Like, San Francisco is hands down the best team in the league, and you think the Browns are going to be able to compete with them? What is going on? No, San Francisco got this game easy.
I have held my rage for far enough about this. And I can't believe that I'm sitting next to people right now that actually believe that he who shall not be named will actually be the person to bring the Titans down that are the San Francisco 49ers. I don't care if it's a backup. I don't care if it's him or he or she. I don't know how he identifies anymore. Who shall not be named. But you actually believe that they have a chance to cover 7 points in this game? Christian McCaffrey is on like a 15-game streak right now. Brock Purdy is like the leading candidate for MVP right now. That defense has yet to show me anything, especially against the guy that throws a 15-yard pass backwards to get out of a sack. We all remember that play. And you really think that he's going to keep them into this game?
Preach!
My lord, let me step down from my soapbox real fast. Before I start smiting you down. With knowledge and really learning you how to football, there is no way the Browns stay in this game. Give me the 49ers.
All day, every day.
Two scores.
All right. What's the worst quarterback signing? He who shall not be named to Cleveland or Wilson to the Broncos?
No, 100% he who shall not be named. So we figured this out. I think we talked about this previous weeks before. The Browns figured out a way to sign he who shall not be named to essentially being not based off a salary for his season. So even if the NFL does fine him or suspend him, it doesn't take away any pay for him because it's all guaranteed money. So all the guaranteed money cannot be fined from a player by that point. They only fine you from your base salary.
Got it.
So the Browns not only gave him $250 million by that point, but they gave him a way to not have to give that $250 million, whatever he does, knowing that he probably might go downward dog, like our Jimmy G the Sat Boy over here. Mm-hmm. Knowing that, he doesn't have to give any money to the NFL. So that will always go down as the worst signing, unless they get two Super Bowls out of him.
Not going to happen.
Isn't a home underdog something indicative of careful how you bet?
I mean, yeah, mostly. Not here.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Up next, we're going to go with the Panthers. The only winless team on the slate. Going to Miami, taking on those high-flying Dolphins.
Still be the only
winning team. 13.5 points. Right. Miami is going to destroy the Panthers. I can see him winning by 21. Easy.
I feel this might be a trap game. Just kidding. The Dolphins win.
Do you?
Sorry.
Yeah. Now you're just mocking me.
I'm just mocking you.
You guys couldn't see the death look he just gave. Chris?
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's good enough.
That's it. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next game.
That was two great bits of analysis.
Colts at Jaguars. Jacksonville, 4-point favorites coming off a London sweep. Can they do it in the United States? I was kind of, it was hard for me to pick this one. I went back and forth a bit. The Gardner Minshew revenge game with Richardson out for a couple weeks or 4 to 8 weeks. I'm still going to go with the home team. Jacksonville can win this game and they will cover those 4 points. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty easy game for the Jaguars. Hopefully not jet lag coming back. But yeah, 4 points. Colts, they're slightly reeling right now. Minshew might make it a game, but I think the Jags have 4 points in them.
They're reeling? They just won last week.
Well, they're now reeling without their lead quarterback, and yeah, they might. And I think Minshew's going to make it interesting, but I think Jaguars have it covered.
Yeah, I think that Jags defense is better than Indy's offense. So, you know, if the defense shows up, it's going to be no problem. So I got Jags winning this by 4 pretty easily.
I mean, I'm going to take the Jags in this game. I thought really hard about the cover on it just because I do believe that the Colts will try to keep this close. However, I don't believe they're going to keep it close enough for 4 points. Give me like a 5 to 6 point win on this one. For the Jags, but I think Gardner Minshew is going to keep them honest.
Will you have the Minshew stash going in on Sunday?
Oh, do you want me to shave the beard off of the Minshew stash?
Will he wear both Minshew and Lawrence jerseys at
I will make this bet with all of you guys right now. If you agree to do something, we'll figure out something forward. I will shave my beard off and go to the Minshew stash. If the Colts beat the Jaguars this weekend, if you guys want to offer up like dollar bets or anything like that on it.
Yeah, I'll put a dollar.
It's got to be more than $1. I will put a dollar on that.
You got $3 bets.
I'll go 5 from each of you right now. If the Jaguars lose this game, I will shave it down.
Win, so.
Well, then you can't be in this bet. But unless you want the mustache bet. But I will shave my beard down to the Gardner Minshew mustache bet on this one.
Do you need all three of us to give you $5? What if only one of us takes it?
I will take at least two of you.
Okay.
I'll do it.
I'll let you know on Sunday.
No.
Minshew stash.
All right, you know what?
We got at least two.
Yeah, I'll do it. Okay, you got three. You got $15 coming your way. But then you got like
you know the worst part of this is actually like do a job where I have to go talk to people on a regular basis and like I really actually have to how long do I have to keep the Minshew stash?
Well, at least a week.
At least a week.
But you have to give us the 4 points.
I'll give you the 4 points.
All right, there we go.
All right,
there we go.
Sold.
All right,
I'll give you that.
It's on record.
I'm sorry. You just go clean shaven.
I am very sorry, Sarah.
We got our final.
Well, Jacks will win.
Final morning game. The Saints traveling to Houston, taking on the Texans. Texans. I mean, they lost last week, but they're looking good. This New Orleans a 1.5 point favorites. New Orleans shutting out the Patriots. Whew, that was an ugly game. This was a coin flip for me as well. I was thinking about it. I'm going to go with that Saints defense to shut down the rookie quarterback. I'll say he throws his first interception of the year in this game. Saints win this very close though, and they cover the point 1.5 points.
I like the Texans in this game. I feel like they are really, really feisty. I love that word. I might have a hot take on that later. But I like the Texans in this game. They're really, really good. I don't know what Travis is pantomiming to me right now, but yeah, give me the Texans in this game.
I have the Saints winning this game. Their defense is on point. Carr's back. He looked good last week. You know, Kamara's going to show up, so... I think Saints cover the 1.5 pretty easily here.
So I'm going to go the Saints all day in this game. I'm not sure if C.J. Stroud will throw an interception, but the Saints, the defense has looked really good. Derek Carr is starting to kind of get back from the AC joint injury. Olave didn't have a great game. Kamara's starting to heat up. Give me the Saints to win this game.
So I did forget one of the morning games. We do have the Commies traveling to Hotlanta taking on the Falcons. Mm. Falcons, 2.5-point favorites in this one. Again, another game, like, the teams aren't great, but I love the matchups are, it's, the matchups are great. Like, two, like, mediocre teams, if you will.
A lot of field goals.
Yeah, it's, like, hopefully we'll see some more touchdowns. I'd love Bijan to have his first 3-touchdown game. That would be really super swell. But I am gonna go with Atlanta at home. They had a nice comeback last week against the Texans. Last drive of the game, kicking the field goal. I'm gonna say it's gonna be a close one. Commies will rebound from that terrible performance against Chicago, but Atlanta will come out on top with a field goal victory. Give me Atlanta.
I like Atlanta. I like Atlanta home games. I feel like they don't lose them, and I figure they'll do something. It's not a Taylor Heineke revenge game against the Commies, but I feel like the Falcons have enough to beat them in this game.
I think Washington has the best offense here in this game, and I think they're going to show up this week. I think they're going to be able to beat Atlanta even at home. You know, the 2.5 points is probably just because Atlanta is at home. That's the only reason, but I think Washington wins this game.
I'm going to go with Chris on this one. It's hard to pick against Atlanta at home, especially against the team of the caliber of the Commies by that point. But I don't think the Commies are that terrible. I mean, they tried to make a comeback last week against the Bears as well. They played really hard against Philly this year. I don't think the Falcons are that good. I think the Falcons are still kind of struggling on offense right now. Give me the better coaching staff. Give me the better defense. I'm going to take the Commies in this game.
We got our afternoon games, four games, the 1 or 125 slots. Up first, Patriots at Raiders. Patriots coming off one of the worst losses they've had in a long time. While the Raiders beating the Packers on Monday Night Football. I'm going to go with a big upset here. Patriots are 3-point underdogs. I'm going to say the Patriots find a way to win this game. I can't. Bill Belichick is having the worst year of his coaching career, and I feel like he's going to get his guys to rebound. Their defense can stop whatever McDaniels is going to try to do. It's also a little revenge game there, you know, former offensive coordinator. Yeah, give me the Patriots. Upset Central. Let's do it. Patriots.
No, I got the Raiders in this game. The Patriots have looked awful the last two games, and I don't know how they're going to correct. Mac Jones is still starting, even though he's benched the last two games. Home game for Raiders. Yeah, give me the Raiders to win this and cover.
I'm going to take the Raiders as well. I think Jimmy G's big problem right now is the interceptions. I think he's interception heavy, but I don't think he's got to worry about the secondary on the Patriots at all. So I think he's going to show up. Devontae Adams is going to show up. Maybe they can get that running game started and, like, do it up, but we'll see. I think the Raiders win this pretty easily.
So outside of 2022 and 2020, where Bill Belichick had a losing season, can you guess the last year Bill Belichick had a losing season?
I'm guessing it was in, it was 2000.
2000, 5-11. Once again, 5-11 before that with Cleveland. 7-9, two times, 6-10 with Cleveland.
He doesn't. Cleveland had it.
Yeah. He doesn't lose very much. I'm with Fernando on this one. I think that Bill Belichick will find a way to kind of fix this. I don't think the Raiders are that good on offense, and I think if you can shut them down, I mean, their kicking game is awful right now. Daniel Carlson would have won me fantasy this week if he just would have made at least one of his field goals.
Oh, that is a shame.
He did sound butthurt.
That is a shame.
But I don't think the Raiders are that good. I just don't. I think Devontae Adams looks frustrated by what's going on with the Raiders' offense. I think you kind of saw that at the end of last game in the post-game interviews. I think Bill Belichick will find a way to kind of right the ship on this one. I don't care if it's Mac Jones, the dirtiest player in the league, or Billy Zapp.
Bailey Zappi. Everyone knew what you meant. We got the Cardinals at the Rams for the next one. Rams going to be 7-point favorites. Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened in that Cowboys game with the Cardinals. I didn't watch that game. I thought, oh, maybe they're good. But then the last couple weeks, nope, they're the Cardinals. Give me the Rams. They can win and cover this. Rams look like they should be better than they are. I mean, they got a decent offense. Their defense struggles at times. But I think against Dobbsy and the Cardinals, I'm going to go with Stafford and the Rams. No problem covering those 7 points.
I like the Rams, but I feel like the Cardinals may make it close and therefore cover that 7-point spread. I believe in Dobby Dimes. I feel like they can make this close. The Rams are a little bit better with Kupp and Puka Nacua. I think they're all good, but I think the Cardinals will keep it close.
I think you saw a little crack in Dobby Dimes' armor last week. I think he threw for his first interception last week. I think he threw for two last week. So I don't know if he's going to be the same player coming back. And to be honest, I don't know if he's starting quarterback material. You know, he's putting up a couple touchdowns, fine, a couple yards, but he's not the guy. I think Rams going to be able to show up and show out on these guys, so 7 points easy for the Rams.
Actually, I have to kind of change my pick on this one. I'm going to take the Rams to win and cover on this one. I just realized that James Conner is actually on IR right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's going to hurt.
That's going to hurt a lot, so I do have to change my pick on this one. I wanted to go to the Cardinals to cover, but the Rams to win, but give me, I mean, without James Conner, I just don't see it happening. I think that it'll be close to the 7 points, but yeah, give me the Rams.
All right, Eagles at Jets for the next game. Eagles, 7-point favorites. I don't think we have to say much about this one. I got the Eagles winning and covering this, no problem.
The Jets have a good defense, but the Eagles' offense is that much better. So yeah, give me the Eagles to win and cover.
Same. I don't think Hall's going to have the game he had last week, so I don't think they're going to be able to compete with the Eagles' offense. So Eagles win and cover.
Is it? I mean, is the Eagles' offense that good? Because I mean, they've been decent this year. They haven't been like outstanding. They haven't been what they were last year. Jalen Hurts, 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. I mean, DeAndre Swift, 434 yards rushing, pretty good. They don't have the same backfield they had last year. There's kind of a weird dichotomy between A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith this year. I think the Jets are frisky. And being in New York at this one, I'm going to take the Eagles to win this game. But I think the Jets are going to keep it close and cover that 7-point spread.
All right, all right. Lions at Bucks. I'm going to go out a little bit of an upset here. Detroit, 3.5-point favorites. Buccaneers coming off that bye at home. I'm going to take the Bucs to beat the Lions. I feel like the Lions are, they're a team riding high right now. And, you think you're a little better than what you are. And I think, I'm going to go with the Bucs with the upset. Let's go, Baker.
No, not for me, dog. I'm going to go with the Lions to win this game.
No for me, dog.
That's a no for me, dog. Lions are good. The Bucks are not. I'm not sure if Mike Evans is actually back for this game either. So, yeah, give me the Lions.
I'm going to have to take the Lions on this one. I think St. Brown's coming back this week. He was out last week, if I'm not mistaken. And then you got Montgomery, who's just been running over people the last few weeks. I don't think Tampa Bay has a defense to be able to stop that. I think Detroit's going to run over Tampa Bay this week. Maybe it's divisional, maybe it's not, but I'd say Detroit wins this pretty easily.
I mean, at the end of the day, Tampa Bay is only allowing like an average of like 94.8 yards to opposing offenses. So their run defense, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, has been pretty much on point so far. They have yet to figure out like their rushing offense. Rashad White has not been the answer, but Baker Mayfield has been adequate enough to keep them in games, especially with a good defense. I hear what the two of you are saying, but I have to go with Fernando on this one. I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win this game, especially at home. If this is in Detroit, I think it's a whole different story, but give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win this game.
So let's do a rapid fire on this one because there's not much to say about it. Giants at Bills, 14-point favorites for Buffalo. The Giants are garbage. Bills win and cover. I can't see any way of happening. Bills win and cover, no problem.
Yeah, Bills win this game. Please take the Giants off primetime eventually.
Yep, Bills.
But Danny Dine. No.
No.
Bills.
And then we got our final game of the week, Monday Night Football, the Cowboys at the Chargers. Dallas coming in at 2.5-point underdogs. I'm picking Dallas in this game to win and cover. I feel like getting slapped in the face like that last week on Monday Night Football, they're going to come out with a little bit more, just more pizzazz, I guess you can say.
That is a word.
Is that a good word?
That's a word.
All right. I think it's going to be very high scoring. Whatever the over-under is, I'm going to take the over because Dallas' defense is struggling. Chargers have a decent offense and also a pretty bad defense. But give me the Cowboys. It'll be like a home game playing in L.A.
The Cowboys are angry. They want to take it on somebody, and the Chargers will charge her all over themselves. Give me the Cowboys.
I am taking the Chargers on this one. I think Dallas' defense is starting to fail a little bit. Dak Prescott is starting to throw for more interceptions. I think that Chargers offense is going to be able to run over that defense, and Chargers are going to win this.
Chargers get a charge. Cowboys are going to come back. We them boys. So give me the Cowboys. Come back after getting smacked in the mouth quite a few times last week, and they'll handle themselves.
All right, we got a quick time for our hot takes for the week. One thing we think is going to happen. Oh, you already took it.
Oh.
Okay. We got the last dab Apollo hot sauce. It is.
It is the hottest sauce on
it
the.
It is the hottest on the table
on
right
the table
now
for the Hot Ones TV YouTube show.
Let me go ahead and.
You tongued out.
Starting it. My hot take: Justin Fields will have 4 or more total touchdowns against the Vikings defense on Sunday. That could be passing touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, receiving touchdowns, whatever. He'll have 4 or more against the Vikings on Sunday.
C.J. Stroud will throw for 2 touchdowns against the Saints. Will not turn the ball over. I think he's going to be that Saints defense will lose to the Texans.
I called it last week on the Saints. I'm calling it again this week on the Saints. Derek Carr's back. My hot take is Kamara runs for at least 2 TDs this week.
Ooh. So I got 1.5 hot takes on this one. My hot take is going to be Joe Mixon's going to run for, he's going to get 2 touchdowns. Not run for him, but he's going to get 2 touchdowns this week against,
Man, my tongue is numb.
Against the Seahawks. Give me Joe Mixon for 2 touchdowns this week. If you had him fantasy, definitely start him. My half a take is that Taylor Swift shows up to the Chiefs game this week.
Is that really a hot take?
All right, let's wrap this show up. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be here every week making your picks. You know, let other people know about it. If they want to get some good, you know, professional football commentating?
We watch enough. Yeah,
let us know. All right, signing off. My name is Fernando.
Jimmy G, the Downward Dog Boy.
And I am Chris.
And my name has been Travis.
We'll see you next week.
Have a great week, y'all. Enjoy football.
Week 6.
Oh, my tongue is fucking burning.